on earth, because we are connected to the kingdom of God, and therefore we have the authority to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And when we bring the kingdom of God on earth, the will of God will be done on earth as it is in the kingdom of God.
I want to talk about commission to work. We've been commissioned to work. And that's what I'm going to talk shortly about, that. That God has commissioned us to work. We have been commissioned to work. You know, when we talk about commission, is a formal official arrangement that has been given to someone to do a certain job by somebody who is higher than himself. In other words, there's a boss somewhere who tells you, he commissions you to go and do something that's not your business. That is the boss business, but he gives you the mandate. He gives you the authority to go and do that work for him, which he cannot do. And we talk about the commission that the Lord has commissioned us. And in other words, also when he talks about the commission, when you have been commissioned by somebody to do a task or work, he will give you a commission from the work that you do. So two things I want us to understand is that God, Jesus, has commissioned us to do his work. And therefore, he has commission the church to go and preach the gospel. And you see, the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, it's just coming in my mind, Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 28-29, Peter asked Jesus one time a question, and Peter said, now we have left everything, we have left our house, we have left our home, we have left our people, we have left everybody, and we have come and follow you. So what are we going to get in return? Because Peter knew about the commission. He knew that if I've left something and I'm doing something on behalf of somebody, this man has to give me a commission. He has to give me something. Therefore, Jesus knew about business, because Jesus was very good. He knew about business. He told Peter, now listen, whoever has left his father, his mother, his wife, his brothers, his job, and everything for my sake and for the sake of the kingdom, he will receive 100 times what he has lost here on earth, and in heaven he's going to receive eternal life plus persecution. Now watch this. We're going to receive, God has commissioned us to do his work, to win souls for Christ, and it's not in vain. We're going to be blessed here on earth, and the Bible says, blessed is the feet of those who bring good tidings to the lost. And the Bible says again, a wise man is the one who wins souls to the kingdom. Oh God, this is good. Man, this is wonderful. See, sometimes you preach until you get blessed too. Because the Bible says that wise is the man. A wise man. If you want to be wise in the world, you bring a soul to the kingdom of God. And that's how to become wise. And the Bible says, blessed is the one who bring the good tidings to the people to listen. Now, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse number 18, when Jesus went up to be tempted of the devil, the Bible says that he came back to the temple and he was given the book of Isaiah, and he opened a place that is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For this reason, he has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor, to open the blind eyes and to declare the ear of the Lord. The Bible says that he came and he came and gave a decree. He came and spoke that this scripture must be fulfilled in this time, because God has anointed me to preach the good gospel to the poor, and to open the blind eyes, and to set the captive free. When God commissions you to do his work, he gives you the anointing to do that work. He will give you the power to do that work.
He will not give you, you know, when you are commissioned to do something, it means there is something you are going under the authority of that person who has commissioned you. You don't go by your authority. Oh God. You go by the authority of that person. And that's why when the disciples of Jesus Christ were commissioned by Christ to go to the world and preach the gospel, they did not go by their power. They went under the authority of Christ. Amen. And they said, that's why the Bible says, Jesus said, in my name, you shall cast out devils, something like that. And therefore, when they went, they preached the gospel. Jesus told them, go and say the kingdom of God is at hand, which means the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is coming. Our business in this world is to preach about the kingdom, is to tell the people about the kingdom of our Father, is not talking to people about our kingdom or our church or our denomination or our religion, but is talking to them about the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, we have a king. There's no kingdom which does not have a king. Now watch this now. The kingdom is different from a nation.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are not of the nation of heaven. We are of the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven is different from a nation. You see, a nation, you might not understand, but let me just bring it back to you. We understand about the kingdom so much because we were under the colonization of the British. And we used to obey the king. When we read in history, we obey the King George, we obey the queen. And everything used to come from the queen because, and the king, when the king in London or in Britain could say something, we could obey what he says or what she says. So the kingdom is different from everything. Now, the kingdom is different from the government because the government has got a law or is democratic. It can be democracy, but the kingdom is not democracy. Now, in the democracy, like in our country, after every 5 years, we elect a new president. And he has to run for only 2 terms, and then after that, he's not going to run again. But now, that's the government. That's the rules of the government. Because the government is smaller than the kingdom. Now, when it comes to the kingdom, the king will rule until he dies.
Amen.
Are you getting what I'm saying? And we don't elect the king. The king just goes from one person, he runs over to the other one, and therefore it's a family thing. Now, when it comes to the government, it's like we have to go and vote. Now, in this kingdom, oh God, in this kingdom of God, we don't have to vote in Jesus. He reigns forevermore. Is the king, is the mighty king. Therefore, we do his work because we don't have to go and do the voting. We don't have to go and change the constitution because the constitution is the word of God. It's always there forever. The Bible says, forever, oh God, my word will stand forever. Therefore, when it comes to the kingdom is so big in the sense that the king owns the land. That's what the king does. He owns the land. He the lands belong to the king.
Amen.
That's why Jesus was telling his disciple, go and talk about my kingdom. And if you read your Bible very well, you find that Jesus every time was saying, the kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God is like this. Why? Because he wanted, oh God, good. I feel the anointing in this place. This is a good place to preach. Hallelujah. This is a powerful place to preach. So what happened is that Jesus was kind of trying to tell them, I want you to be connected to the kingdom. Because the moment you understand about the power of the kingdom, you are not going to be plucked out of the kingdom. But the church has got a small mind of the government. We don't belong to the government of God. We belong to the kingdom of God. Because God is the king in the kingdom of God. And therefore, he reigns. And there's no way you can vote God out of his kingdom. There's no way. You cannot vote him out. You cannot tell God that this is your time has ended. There's only one person. We're going to vote him out. And that is the devil. The Bible says in the last day, we're going to vote him out by putting him back to where he belongs. And you see, the kingdom of the enemy is not like our kingdom. The kingdom of God is different from the kingdom of the enemy. The devil has got his kingdom, but watch this, the kingdom of God will always overcome and will always have power. And that's why you're not just, you see, sometimes you have to come out of being a small child of the kingdom and become a prince. Because the moment we become a prince in the kingdom, we know our rights. If you don't know, now watch this. If you don't know your right, if you don't know your rights, and you don't know who you are in the kingdom, then the enemy will mess up with you. But the moment, now watch this. If a child knows his right in a family, he will know what's happening in the family. And if a child does not know his right or her right in the family, therefore he cannot understand what's going on in the family. But we have to understand about our rights in the kingdom of God, and we need to understand who we are in the kingdom. And that's why the Bible says, go and teach all nations about my kingdom. God, Jesus said, now watch this. Don't know why I'm talking about the kingdom, but Jesus said, when you pray, the Bible says, our Father who art in heaven, our Lord be thy name, thy kingdom come. When the kingdom of God will come, then his will be done on earth. But the moment the kingdom of God has not come, his will never be done on earth. And who is to bring the kingdom of God on earth? We are to bring the kingdom of God on earth because we are connected to the kingdom of God. And therefore we have the authority to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And when we bring the kingdom of God on earth, the will of God will be done on earth as it is in the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said, and my scripture in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. That's what Jesus said. He said, all authority has been given unto me. Therefore, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, I told you the king owns the earth. So Jesus comes and say, I am the king of the heaven and I am the king of the earth. And all authority has been given to me. And he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the world. So Jesus is commissioning the prince and the princess. Who we are the prince and the princess of the kingdom. Therefore, Jesus is talking to the kingdom people, telling them now I have the authority. I've gone to the kingdom of God and he has given me the authority. Now I give you this authority. Go and make many in our kingdom. Go and make many disciples to come to our kingdom so that we can have many people in the kingdom. And the good thing is this, when you do great commission of God, he says, I will be with you until the end of the world. So we are not doing something that Jesus is not there with us. We are walking with him. We are talking with him. That's why we talk like him. We act like him. We behave like him. The Bible says when the disciples of Jesus, Acts chapter 4, the Bible says when they were preaching the gospel, miracles were happening, things were taking place. They look like him. They look like Christ. Somebody said, maybe Christ has resurrected from the dead. Because Peter and the disciple, they look like Christ. Why? Because they had the DNA of Jesus Christ. They had the power of God in them. Therefore, they look like just Christ. And therefore, the Bible says that Jesus said, go and make disciples because I am with you. The great commission of God is for you to go and witness for God. Make them understand that there is a God. There is Jesus is alive. and God is alive. And therefore, when they come to the kingdom, they are coming to a kingdom whose God is Christ. Praise the Lord. I like that. So we have to understand about the kingdom of God. We have to understand about the Great Commission, because Christ will be with us. He said, I will be with you until the end of age. I'll be with you until the end of the world. When we understand these things, we are going to go out boldly, declaring the kingdom of God and saying the kingdom of God has come. Because all that we do is nothing but about the kingdom. All that we do is nothing but to build and to expand and to enlarge the kingdom of God. So Christ said, I have been given authority. In other words, there's no authority on earth and in heaven apart from the authority that God gave to me. Therefore, now watch this. Somebody who gives you the authority, I mean, somebody who commissioned you, it means he has the authority. A commissioner will not commission somebody until he has the authority. And Christ cannot commission us if he has no authority. That's why he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world, preach to every nation. When you come to Kenya, you are fulfilling the commission that Christ gave you. People will hear the gospel. They will get saved. They receive Jesus Christ in their life. When I travel to different places, I have been commissioned by God to do what God has called me to do. Now, the Bible says, I want to read one more scripture in Mark 16. Mark, the book, the gospel according to Saint Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. All right, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And this sign will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. And after the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. Then the disciple went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied them. Now this is another instance here, the same thing in the book of Mark. Jesus now comes to the disciples when he is resurrected from the dead, and he tells the disciples, now go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. Whoever believes is baptized and is saved. Now, but then there is a benefit there, because he does not just leave us that way. He say, they that believe in his name, in my name you shall drive out devil. In other words, in my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak in new tongues. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, he gave them the power to do some supernatural. He gave them the authority to go into the supernatural and to do the supernatural. Because casting out devil is not a natural thing. It's a supernatural. Healing the sick is not a natural thing. It's a supernatural, though it's compound with the natural. So in other words, what Jesus was saying, I'm giving the authority to go into the supernatural and to do what you cannot do in the natural. Amen. Because when you are with them, they need to know the power of the supernatural. Yes. For them to believe, they must see the power of the supernatural. They must heal the sick. They must cast out devil. You must do miracles. Things will happen in your life. Therefore, Jesus, when the good thing with the Great Commission is when you do go out to evangelize, and God accompanies his word with signs and wonders. Because when miracles take place, they will believe that you've been sent by God. They will believe that God is accomplishing and accompanying his word. When you do believe in this God, the Bible says, you shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. No matter how difficult, how that sickness is, the power of God is able to heal every sickness. Is able to heal every sickness. The power of God is able to cast out every demon. The power of God is able to do the incredible things. Things that we cannot even imagine. Miracles, as the blind opening their eyes, the lame walking, the dead people coming back to life. Why? That's not a big miracle. For dead people to come back to life is not a big miracle. It's something that Jesus said, you shall do. The Bible says, Jesus told the disciple, greater work than this shall you do if you believe in me. And now, Jesus, watch this. He said, whoever believe in my name. It does not say, only those who preach, only those who sing, only those who do full-time ministry. He says, the Bible says, those who believe. This is for the believers. It's not for just anybody. It's not just for the so-called people. It's not only for the so-called bishops. I don't like titles. But you see, sometimes we put more emphasis on the title because there's no way God will never anoint a title. Am I talking to somebody here? God anoints the individual. Therefore, the Bible says, whoever believes, in other words, any believer who believes in the word of God, you have the authority to lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. That's why even in my house, when my child is sick, I lay hands on them. I pray for them. I've taught my church that you don't need to call me sometimes. You have the authority. You can pray for any sick person. You can cast every devil. You can do things that God has called you to do. And God will bless you when you do that. If there is a sick person, you can lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. You'll speak in new tongues. You'll do mighty, wonderful things. Now, when the church in our days will believe what the early church believed, we are going to see great revival. Revival is going to break forth. Why? Because they believe literally. They believe literally on what God said. They did not doubt even one word. But now we're living in the times whereby we doubt several things that God says. He says, you shall lay hands on the sick, but your mind tells you, I don't know what will happen. Now watch this. It's not you to know what's going to happen. Your part is to play your part and let God do his own part. That's what happens. That's what happened. I'm there. I'm a vessel. I'm just there to be used by God. He says, I will lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. I shall pray for the blind. They shall receive their sight. I shall pray for the lame people. They shall walk. Every sickness must disappear, must be healed. Why? Because I have the same authority that God gave me. Now, the Bible says, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, I commission you under the same authority to go and declare the word of God in all nations. So he has given us the authority. He has given us the power. So healing is not something that is so difficult. Miracles are not something that's so difficult. Why? Because I am doing I told you about the kingdom. I'm doing what my king is saying. The king has said that. I'm doing what he says. I am an ambassador of Christ. Here in the U.S., we have a Kenyan embassy in Washington, D.C. We have an ambassador from Kenya who represent Kenyans in America. When you go to, let me give you a good example. In Kenya, we have American embassy. And when you go to the American embassy in Kenya, you can think you are in the US. Because everything's done like the US do things. Our cars, we drive our cars on the right side, the good side. And, but you know, when you go to the American embassy, their car is on the other side. Although they live in Kenya, but their car is on the other side. Why is this so? It's because although they are in Nairobi in Kenya, but are in America in Kenya. Amen. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Amen. They are Americans in Kenya. They believe in their laws, although they're in a foreign country, all right. But they believe in the laws of their land. They do their things. They're not protected by our army. It's an American army that protects the ambassador in Kenya. Amen. It's not Kenya army protecting the ambassador. It's the American army doing that. If you go to the embassy, the Americans are there. They're with their guns. They are ready for anything. Not because of anything. It's because of though they are in a foreign country, but they do the laws of their country. Yes. Now, although we are in a foreign land on this earth, God, although we are in a foreign land on this land of our world, but we represent the kingdom of God on this land, we don't go by the laws of this land, we go by the laws of the kingdom of God, which is the word of God. That's why Paul says we are the ambassadors. Paul says we are the ambassadors. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We represent Christ. We do what Christ says. And that's why you do what the Bible says. The law of the land says this. But we follow what the law of our kingdom of God says. So Jesus, he says that you receive, he says, in my name shall cast out devil. In my name shall lay hands on the sick. We have the commission, the mandate, the power, the authority from our King. Lastly, before I finish, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, after Jesus coming from the dead and he had resurrected and he met with his disciple, the Bible says, he's saying, you shall receive, in verse 8 says that Jesus said, and he said, you shall receive, actually let me start from verse 6, 7, 8. He's saying, the disciple asked Jesus, in other words, they were asking about the kingdom. When are we going to get our kingdom back? They were asking him a natural question. A carnal question. They were not asking a spiritual question. When are we going to be liberated from the rules of the Romans Empire? Are we going to be independent from the rules of the Romans? But Jesus said, you don't need to know about that. It's not for you to understand about when you're going to be set free from the Romans Empire or you're going to be set free from the Romans. But then Jesus said, he told them, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the other parts of the world. So Jesus said, you are going to receive the power. The power to enable you to preach the gospel in your Jerusalem, in your place where you live. Because if Jerusalem is not preached, then Samaria will not be preached and other parts of the world will never be preached. So what happened is that we must start with our Jerusalem. The moment Jerusalem is preached, then Samaria will be preached. Now what Jesus meant is that we have to start from our home. Preach the gospel in our nation. Preach the gospel in our village. Preach the gospel in where we are. The moment the people have received the gospel, then we can go to the next city. From that next city, we can go to another city. From there, we go to all the world. You've been commissioned to go to all the world. And there's nothing which can make you not go into all the world. Because God has told you to go and preach the gospel to every nation. Every nation. Every nation must hear about Christ. I've been having a vision of going to, and I know I will start a church very soon
in Southern Sudan. Southern Sudan is they were under the bondage of Islamic bondage, and it's a very nice country. It's not that far away from our country, and now they got their independence not that long time ago, and we have brethren. It's a Christian nation. Southern Sudan is a big nation, but we have the south and the north. The south is Christians. The north are Islamic. But then I feel that I need to go and do some work in the Southern Sudan, because there are so many people who are bound, and there are so many people who need to know Christ, and there are so many people who need to know the church has to be planted there. So I feel in my spirit that God one day will open a door for me to go and do some evangelism, to do some work over there, to raise up a church, to build up a church, to raise up Bible school, to do all kind of things. And the reason why we have to do this is because we have been called. You have been called to do something. You don't need to go to a Bible school so that you can be called. Bible school are good. We went to Bible school. I am still doing my master's in theology. And that's what I'm doing right now. But, it's a good thing. But you don't have to go through there so that you can be called to witness to somebody. You can witness to anyone, anywhere, as God gives you the opportunity to do that. And let's not waste any time, because these are the last days. And these are the last days. And that's why you see things are doing, everything is working out. Don't ask yourself so many questions when you see things happening in a way that you don't understand. We are living in the last days. The Bible says the enemy, he knows his days are short. The devil knows his days are very short. And that's why he's fighting the Christians. He's bringing up some things that are not even good, so that many people can get lost. Because he knows his days are short. But then we thank God, because we have people who have been commissioned. People who have the word of God. You can be a witness to many people. I'm told in this country that most of your schools, your institution, they don't allow people to pray and to do preaching in schools, public schools. Let me tell you something. Back home, most of the schools, they have churches in their schools. Churches, I'm talking about, when you come next time, when you come to Kenya, I have to take you to one of the fellowship in schools, where you see these kids, they're worshiping God, they're really having church, and they pray, they seek God, they love God, they just worship the Lord. And we're talking about small kids, and even in high school, in colleges, we have very powerful churches in colleges, universities, we have churches. This thing is breaking out to all of our nation. Our nation now is receiving the word. There are people in every company, I was so shocked, not shocked really, but I was so glad that I have a manager, a friend of mine she's a manager in one of the banks in Eldoret, which is my city. She told me that they've started a fellowship, that before they go to work, before they start the work, they have to have a Bible study. They have to have time to worship. They have to have time to glorify God. She has started a church in a bank. Amen. That before they do anything, they must have a word, they must pray, and they must worship. And then she released the workers to go and do that. And that's just one of it. Every company back in Kenya, every working place, every marketplace, supermarket, where our church is in downtown, these guys from the supermarket, they came the other day and sometimes back, and they asked me, "Pastor, we want to be coming here early in the morning before we go and work in the supermarket." So the workers of the supermarket that we have in that place, they open that place by 6 a.m. Most of them, they go to pray before they go to work. There is a revival that is taking place in our nation. And even this nation, There's a revival that is taking place in this nation, and this revival is going to go forth in power. And I believe you are one of those people that God has commissioned you to break forth and to bring forth the revival. And you have been commissioned to do that work. Therefore, you have no excuse. Just you have to believe God to help you to understand what God has called you to do so that you can do what He has called you to do. You have been called to do evangelism. You have been called to lay hands on the sick. You have been called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. You have been called to preach the gospel and to do what God has called you to do. And the moment you do that, I believe now the miracles does not happen in the absence of the word. If there's no word, there's no miracle. Jesus said, the Bible says, and he accompanied his word with miracle. In other words, if you preach the word becomes a seed. And that seed is been planted in the lives of people. Let me give you an example. If there's a blind man in the congregation, he hears the word. That word goes into his spirit. It's like a seed. Therefore, that seed produces miracles. And that's why when he believes in Christ, his eyes will be opened. Why? Because the word has to be preached to that person. And when the word is preached, the word becomes a seed. And therefore that seed gets a place to land in the spirit, in his spirit. And therefore it gives forth fruits. And when you do the work of God, you preach the word, you are sowing seeds. Even if they don't get saved at that time, you are not the one who is saving them. And you'll never save nobody. Am I talking to somebody here? You'll never save. When I preach the gospel, even in crusade, one time, Pastor, let me just say this. When I began preaching open air crusade, I used to be so discouraged. I remember one time, it was so packed. Hundreds of people were packed in there. It was very nice crusade. The first day I preached, I called for people to get saved. Nobody came forward. I was so like, what's happening? I was so upset. I didn't know what to do. The following day, when I went there, just two people got saved. And I was discouraged. I was like, should I continue with this or not? But then the Lord told me something. He said, you are not the one who save. I'm the one who save people. You preach the word. It's a seed. See, the Bible says, I planted, Apollo waters, and God gives the increase. So you plant the seed, it's watered, and then you get the results. I'm there to preach, even if no one will hear, will not get saved at that time. You've done your part. God will do his own part. One day that person will get saved. One day that person will receive Christ. You've just planted. When we were fighting with the Somali people the other day, last year, Somali is an Islamic country, total. Like, let's say like 98% is just Islam. And they're really, really strict, very strict Islamic country. But then Kenyan soldiers, they were fighting this terrorist group, Al-Shabaab, which is a very bad group. So they were going to Somali, fighting them. And among the soldiers, our army soldiers, they were born again Christians. We have so many of them who are born again. So what happened, I'm told, they went in there and they started witnessing to these people. And one of them said, okay, one person, a preacher said, I might not go and witness these Muslims, but I believe I'm going to do something that is not normal. He took his Bible, went when the war was so bad, he dug the ground, put the Bible down in the ground, and he planted it in the middle of war. And he said, God, this country must be changed for God. Muslims must get saved. They must be transformed. I've planted this Bible in the middle of this world, and I believe they will receive Christ. Now, we are believing that something is going to happen, and these people are going to receive Jesus in one way or another. What I'm trying to say is that you have done your work. Let God do His work. When you don't do your work, then God will not do His work. But when you do your work, God is going to do His work. He's going to help you, and He's going to accompany His word with signs and wonders and miracles, and things are going to take place. Thank you so much for giving me this time to talk to you. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.